Several years ago, Rabbi Harold Scholweis told me of an experience that he had with a Hebrew school kid, or as we currently call it, religious school, in his synagogue years ago when he was discussing God. He said to them that God was everywhere. And one of the children raised their hands and said, Rabbi Scholweis, do you really mean God is everywhere? And he said, yes. And the kid went, got him. Because we have a problem with spatial metaphors. That is, if we think of something as everywhere, we actually think it's located in space. Although, if we say love is everywhere, you know that that doesn't mean that love is actually found in the pocket of your jacket. And I bring this up because I'm going to give a very brief little resume of what a synagogue means by using spatial metaphors. Spatial metaphors that are derived in part, that are taken in part from this morning's parsha, where it says of the Torah, lo bashamayim hi, it's not in the heavens, but it's in your heart. Bilvavecha, it's inside of you. This is something that Rabbi Art Green points out. He says, primarily, in Judaism, there are two different kinds of spatial metaphors to explain faith. One is the metaphor of the mountain, that it's up there. And the other is the metaphor of the heart, that it's in here. And I want to use those two and one more to explain the purpose of a synagogue. One, that it's up there, one, that it's in here, and the third, that it's all around us. One of the purposes of the synagogue is what we call self-transcendence. That means it's up there. Transcend is something that goes above you. And it is part of the purpose of the synagogue to make us better than we are, to transcend ourselves. I'll give you a trivial example and an important example. So when you drive around, when you sit at home watching TV, when you're in the movie theater, you eat, you speak, you chew gum. When you come into the sanctuary, just as if you were coming before the President of the United States, you would quiet your soul, take the gum out of your mouth, and not bring in a bag of chips. Here, where you come before Melech Malchei Hamlachim, the creator of the universe, you transcend your normal customs and reorient yourself to an attitude of reverence. Out there, you don't find reverence. Drive along Sunset Boulevard and the billboards encourage you to many things, but reverence is not one of them. Watch television shows, and advertisements and shows promote many virtues, but reverence is not among them. But in here, we encourage people to reverence, to an attitude not even of the best of ourselves, but something better than the best of ourselves. Because we align ourselves with something greater. Because it's no longer about what is the best in my soul, but how my soul can connect up to what is best in the universe. That's why people will say often, when they're upset about something that happens in the synagogue, how can this go on in the synagogue? Because they expect you see something better. That's the metaphor of up there. Of the way in which we transcend ourselves and act reverently because we know that we are in the presence of something greater. Not because God doesn't exist everywhere, but because we're oriented differently sitting in this place. And then there's the metaphor of what goes on inside of us. If you really take the prayer seriously, then you pay attention to what goes on inside your soul as you come into a synagogue and pray. You notice how you react to prayers of thanks, to prayers for healing, to prayers of celebration. They feel different in here than they do out there. It feels in some ways like there is more at stake in your soul. Not because you can't repent or pray or love in the world, but because this is a place specifically dedicated to that. And this is our best chance. If you cannot focus your soul in here, it is at best unlikely that you will be able to out in the din, the noise, the trivia, the trash of the world. This is a serious place. Not a somber place, but a serious one. And so what goes on inside of our souls when we're here matters because it helps orient us for the rest of our lives. For when we walk out of here. The rabbis say that since the temple was destroyed, there are three holy places in the world. The synagogue, the study hall, and the dinner table. Because what happens in here should affect how you treat those who are closest to you. Which brings me to the third metaphor, not the one above and not the one within, but the one around. There are very few places in American society where people of different ages and different economic backgrounds and different interests sit together. There are concerts, there are sporting events, and there's synagogue. Or broadly, houses of worship. But here is the difference. The concert doesn't create a community. The sporting event doesn't create a community. You don't say to someone, listen, you've got to help me because you and I both go to the Dodger games. Not only that, but the baseball game or the concert is not even a community of values. You can be different in everything and still enjoy a love of basketball or of art. But the synagogue is a community of values which ties us to one another. It is a worldwide community. And by coming into the synagogue, you say something not only about the community you belong to, but what you care about. I can make statements about your value system because you are here that tie all of us together. That we care about the Jewish people, that we care about the state of Israel, that we care what happens to this country and the way in which it treats those who are dispossessed because we know what it is to be dispossessed. That we care about what happens in political situation because we know that some of our brothers and sisters around the world are in precarious circumstances and we feel tied to them. That we care that the year is about to start again. And we pray for the fate of our own souls. There are things I know about us because we're here. Because the metaphor is not only above us and within us, it is around us. And that's why a synagogue matters. A synagogue matters because it ties us to one another. It is a serious place. It's a place where children are raised and educated. It's a place where if you're sick, people will pray for you and care about you. A place where if you're grieving, others will grieve with you, and if you're celebrating, others will throw candy and sing. Because we are tied together. And as the year begins again, I'm asking you, not on our behalf, but on your behalf, to be part of a synagogue, any synagogue, because it will make you better and it will make us better. Don't just take from it, but give to it. Draw yourself close to the community because they need you. We need you. And because, whether you know it or not, you need us. And even if you don't need us today, you will need us tomorrow or the day after or the day after that. And that is a good thing, an important thing, and a sacred thing. In the Talmud, we read the story of two men who were passing by the ruins of an ancient synagogue. And one of them looks at the place, which was obviously once a magnificent structure, and he says, "Kama mamon chichu avotenu kan? How much money did our ancestors invest in this place, and now look, it's a ruin." And his friend corrects him, and he says, "That's not the question to ask. Kama nifashot chichu avotenu kan? How many souls did our ancestors invest in this place?" That's the question, of course. It's whether you have invested your soul in a synagogue for the sake of your soul, for the sake of the synagogue, for the sake of community, and almost literally for God's sake. As the new year comes, that's our question. Kama nifashot shichu avotenu kan? How many souls did our ancestors invest in this place so that it would be here for us to invest our own souls? I hope you will. I hope that you will find a synagogue that is yours, so that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you will feel tied to those around you, to those who came before you, and to what is best in your own soul, so that we can please God, who, after all, has put us here so that we might, as the prophet said, walk in his ways, to do justice, to love mercy, to be God's people in this world, to connect to what is best above, within, and around us. That is part of our prayer for this new year, as we wish you a Shana Tova Umetuka, a sweet, happy, healthy, and wonderful year, not only for you and for your families, but for Israel and for the whole world. Shabbat Shalom.